behind every great beer is an even better story. Welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews.
Let me set the scene for you right now. I'm sitting here with a good mate of mine, Andrew Finneran, and we were over at 44 Sydenham Road at the Batch Brewing Company earlier, and he said, "Do you want to come over and check out the new venue?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So we've jumped in the car over to Petersham. Sitting here right now, in the background, you can hear the refrigerators working and the beer's bubbling away as we're at the small batch facility here in Petersham. Thanks for having me along, mate.
Thanks for coming, man.
Man, this is a pretty cool venue. I've got no idea where I am. Where the hell am I in terms of Sydney?
Well, you are in the suburb of Petersham, nestled right in between Newtown and Lewisham and Marrickville and Dulwich Hill.
So we're still the inner west?
Still in the inner west.
Yeah.
But more specifically, we're behind the public house in Petersham, so it's kind of in collaboration with a pub.
Yeah, it's a well-known pub out this way.
Pub. They've got they always have craft beers on tap, so they support a lot of inner west craft breweries. They've got great pizzas. It's great to watch sports there if you like big buck hunter like I do. You can go and play that too. Yeah.
And we're sort of out the back of that in this purpose-built venue, effectively, with a big bright red Batchman on the front of it. Why the red Batchman?
It's a beacon shining out to the people of the street. Not on like a brothel sign. There's a reason why it's red for something. But no, we're sitting back in the car park, kind of nestled back there. We needed something. It's a busy street out there, so we just needed something that really kind of cut through and got out there. So hopefully when you're driving by, you'll see a red Batchman. It'll catch your eye and make you want to come back here.
I've got to say, when we spoke a couple of months ago on the podcast, you didn't do this place justice because, I don't know, this is a really, how do I describe this place? It's polished. Like, you go to the other venue and it's pretty raw and all that sort of thing as you roll out the roller door. This place has got, you know, beautiful brickwork. But then you look here and you've got this great, it's like a mini version of what's the Batch Brewery. You've got your 10 tanks, you've got your 3 bright tanks and your brewing kit there in the middle, and you've got this great open space. It's, I don't know, like the best of what you had at the other venue and then adding some extra polish, like some elements of kind of, you've grown up a little bit in what you're presenting to the customer.
Yeah, this one's interesting because, on the brewery side, it's exactly pretty much a third the size of the other brewery, like same geometric shape. The whole point of that is to test the beers in the same, as similar an environment for the brewers. So it's easy for us to scale up at in Marrickville. But yeah, it's same, but different. Like, you come in, I mean, I know you guys are listening to this, so you can't see it, so you definitely gotta come down and check it out, but
I'll post a photo or something.
You know, we still have a palate bar. We just, you know, we went with Ryan, one of my guys, suggested the herringbone pattern, so that was a little bit classy. You know, but we still have built the tables here. We've still done a lot of similar things that we've done in Marrickville. But yes, everyone that comes in here says it's definitely more polished, and that's not. Yeah. It's just because
that's not. I'm not saying that like that the other place is not polished. The other place is just.
It's a working brewery.
It's raw and authentic, isn't it?
This is a working brewery too. The main difference between the two is when you're in the brewery in Marrickville. And this is the charm of it. You're in there, and the brewers are walking right by you, or driving, you know, a forklift right by you to load beer up onto a ute to take to our warehouse. Whereas here, this is there's two very separate areas, so they don't cross over.
Yeah.
So that kind of keeps it a little bit. It allows it to be a little bit more, less stressful for the consumer.
Yeah. You don't have to walk past the yellow lines to go and take a leak. This place.
So the other place is definitely it's a working brewery, and then this has got more of a brew pub feel to it.
That's a good thing. You've got food coming from the pub out the front there and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, it's actually like a great venue space, you know, for 21st or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I could see myself having my 50th year, perhaps.
Yeah, I think it's better. Yeah, maybe 30th or 40th or 50th, 21st. What do you call them? The cider. We have a cider now. Snake bites.
snake bites.
No, I'm kidding. Oh, no. I'm kidding.
You guys thought they were illegal in Australia.
No, I think this, but this, it's a good space. Every time I've come in here, and because I'm so busy with kid stuff on the weekends, or you know, or driving around on weeknights, I don't actually get to spend a whole lot of time in here.
Yep.
Drinking my own.
Yep.
But when I do come in, like I came in here a couple Sundays ago, and the vibe's just fantastic. It's not as busy as the site in Merrickville, so
well, there's probably, so people don't really know a lot about it yet, do they?
Yeah, yeah. So they're still discovering it. But you come in here, and this it makes me very happy when I go into both venues. And it's a very friendly vibe. There's good music playing. Yeah. Staff are all happy. The consumers, the people in here drinking are happy.
But you're not so in charge of the playlist, are you? Because what we had in your car earlier was pretty shit.
No, that was a random playlist, so I'm not taking responsibility for that one. No, sometimes I am responsible for the playlist, and then usually the staff turn it off as soon as I leave.
A heavy dose of Dave Matthews and Incubus, maybe.
Our head brewer Andrew Melly plays Incubus all the time, so him and I are like we're all good. Dave Matthews, it's Dave Matthews and Fish and the Grateful Dead that the guys hate.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast. In the words of Transvision Vamp, I don't want your money, honey. I want your love. I'm not going to ask for a Patreon donation because that's not really why I do this. I just want you to help me spread the craft beer gospel. Whichever podcast service you use, if you like my interviews, please like, subscribe, follow, rate, and share my podcast with your friends. It all helps to spread the craft beer message throughout the community, and in turn, hopefully can help those of you out there who make a living working in the industry. That's all. I'll let you get back to the podcast.
You know, I'm not from the area. Can I get a train from... I'm staying near Wynyard Station. Can I get a train from Wynyard Station to somewhere nearby here?
Yeah, man. It's Stanmore or Petersham, basically.
Yeah.
And they're both, like, an equal walk. Like, yeah. I think it's about 5 to 7 minute walk from the stations to get here, yeah.
Yeah, and let's talk about the beer. So I'm having the Tasman Tango Pale Ale.
It's a South Pacific Ale.
South Pacific Ale.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Which I'm loving. But I noticed in the fridge over there, you've got these new cans which have not got the black labels. They've got like a white label with the small batch rainbow kind of logo on it where you can only get them here. Is that right?
Yeah, we haven't. We're not. Most of the beers that are produced here, some kegs will go out in the market, but the cans most likely won't. It's really stuff that you can only get here. Well, the beer that you're drinking now, we're testing for our October release for Tasman Tango, South Pacific Ale. Right now you can only get that here.
I'm saying it's good. Go with it.
There's other batches that we just do as one-offs. We're going to bring back like old favorites like Two Peach Secour and stuff like that we'll only do here.
Yeah.
Pretty much you can only get it here. Apart from the odd keg, when we've got a few extra kegs lying around, the sales guys want to take them to a special venue.
Yeah.
They'll do that. And then we basically can on demand. So we've rebirthed our first canning machine.
Yep.
And brought it here. So I've got a very expensive, basically, Cannibal that just does 440 mil cans. And so we basically can them on demand. So if you want a can of it, can it, seam it for you straight away. Sometimes we'll prepackage a few things, but everything's pretty much just done on demand, so it's just nice and fresh. Okay. So, yeah.
So I think back in the day when you first started batch, you were doing one beer every 10 days or thereabouts. What's the changeover rate in this place now?
I think this keeps us... That's a really good question, and I'm going to bullshit on this a little bit. I think doing this keeps us on par with... I can't remember if we were talking to you like in the last podcast we did, but
did you cheat on me with another podcast? You did, didn't you? You bastard.
That's okay. I've been with other podcasts. I'm pretty sure Chris, in somewhere, has said surprisingly we've actually kept up with that number.
I remember hearing.
And I think so. If anything, we're going to keep up with that by having this or accelerate it even more. So it might be like a new beer like every week potentially, which is pretty fucking hard to do 6 years running.
I mean, you've been known for doing that kind of thing, the experimenting this whole time, but in doing it at the size of the batches back at the Marrickville site, it gets pretty difficult too, because there's not a lot of space in there. Let's be honest.
No, there's not a lot of space at all.
And you didn't always perhaps need a full batch of it, did you either? So with this one here, what are these 1/3 batches you said?
Yeah, they're about 300 to 350 litres.
So it's the 7 kegs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So if I'm a pub, I want something special, don't I? You know, I could run through 7 kegs pretty easy. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. That's partially what it's set up for. Yeah. Collaborations with all the other stuff I was talking about, but the collaborations.
Have you had anybody collaborating here yet?
Yeah, we collaborated. Our first collaboration was with Petersham.
Yep.
We did a Black Forest stout, or was it a porter? It was a Black Forest cake stout. It's great. Like cherries. It's really nice.
Yeah, nice.
So that was the first one off the bat for their, they've got a cat named Gizmo that actually used to live in this space that we're in now. Yeah, okay. I haven't seen him too much, but, he lives upstairs at the pub now pretty much. So they wanted to kind of do a tribute to him.
Yeah.
So for his birthday. So, we did that. We actually brewed a beer, today for a collaboration with the Forest Lodge Hotel.
Yep.
Which is going to be a I cannot remember it. I think it's a lactose sour, I think.
Yep.
With mango.
Oh, nice.
But it's basically the whole point of it. It's an interesting idea, because the whole point was to basically they're going to have like a buffalo wing eating contest.
Yeah.
So it gets hotter and hotter as you.
Oh, this is to like cleanse the palate.
Yeah,
cleanse the palate.
And this
Sorry.
Is supposed to kind of put the fire out.
Oh yeah.
So that's exciting. So it's fun to do stuff like that when you're, you know, it's hard sometimes to come up with these great ideas and then say, oh shit, we got to sell a lot of kegs or a lot of cases of them.
Yep.
Is this something that interests everyone?
Yeah.
So for us, it's because sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's like for a micro market. So for us to be able to do these things in small little hits and then and have a lot of fun with the venue and not have to sit there and say, well, how are we going to sell all this other this huge amount of beer we had to brew for it? So yes, and so instead of brewing like a heap of beer for it, we can just do a small amount and kind of say and just have fun and stay true to what we intended to do with that collaboration, and we can do that because it's not a huge amount.
How do the collaborations come about? Are people contacting you, or are you like seeking these things? Like if somebody listening to this wants to come and collaborate with you, they're from the local area, what are they doing?
It's like a mixture of different things. Like, yeah, definitely reach out to us. Some of it's our ideas, and we'll reach out to people.
Yeah, okay.
Like we've been really trying to make like coffee IPAs work, and
what was the coffee beer that won the award in the Crafty Pint recently, or came fifth in the best beer? The Campos Milk Stout, was it?
Oh, did we win an award for that?
Yeah, you like got fifth with the Crafty Pint best beers of.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, I think
was that Campos Milk Stout?
Was there another one that had?
Or maybe
coffee?
It was Elsie. I don't know. I don't remember.
Oh yeah, you need to go jump onto Crafty
I'm
Pint.
Sorry, so I forget that. I always forget that stuff.
It's just awards. They mean nothing.
I gotta pay more attention to that. I kind of like, oh, that's great, and then I move on. But
coffee IPA.
Yeah, we're trying to do the coffee IPA. And so we do a lot of stuff at Campos, but the guys wanted to do with Voodoo Coffee, and they're right down the street from us. And that guy, we have a good relationship with him. So, and it's a small amount, so Voodoo is the go-to for that. But we're still working on the recipe and the right, hops and so dark beers and coffee.
Yep.
Very easy.
Yeah.
Hops and bitterness and coffee, not as easy.
Seems like a strange combination off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think if you like in our heads, it's awesome. But you just there's something that we just have to reapproach it, and so we've tried some cream ale cream ale ways in. So watch this space. That will be kind of something that's coming out. But anyway, that was something that we went to them and said, let's do this. But then we've got people like the Forest Lodge, who wanted to put this event on, and that was a joint collaboration where Jackson, our rep for them, basically was kind of like, well, this is what I want to do. Do you reckon we could do this beer for it?
Yeah.
And everyone just was like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, cool.
Petersham Bowling Club has a lemon verbena.
I love it that your beers are on bowling clubs around this area.
Yeah,
it's awesome. You just would never have ever thought of that back in the day, would you?
Oh yeah, around here the bowling clubs are a lot of
kind
fun.
Retro cool again, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
But the hipsters getting there with their cigarettes and their lawn bowls.
Yeah,
barefoot.
Or just Petersham. I think someone plays lawn bowls there, but for the most part, it's just people hanging out in the green.
Oh. Well, I love lawn bowls. The only sport you can have a cigarette and a beer and be doing
at the same time. Yeah. Yeah, or maybe shuffleboard. Shuffleboard over here is probably
how good's the shuffleboard.
Oh, you can't smoke inside. So,
did I tell you I built one of those shuffleboards?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I built my own one. It's down the shack. It's not quite as polished as that one, but a lot of fun. From when I was in Hawaii at the Maui Brewing Company, and we played shuffleboards. Like, I'm going to make one of those.
Do they have those at the? Oh, right.
Yeah,
I totally
on the strip in Waikiki there. It's awesome.
I was there like 2 days before you were.
Yeah, but you're not an attention.
And I missed that completely.
You're not an attention to detail guy like me. I noticed that thing. I was like, I'm making one of those.
When you have your parents, when you're with a bunch of Americans, you got your parents there and your sister and the kids and your sister's kids, and you get distracted easily. Yeah. Although that makes me think I probably would have run away to go play that anyway. But that thing's a lot of fun.
It's so good.
Type of game. Yeah, sorry. Peterson Bowling Club. They've got like a lemon. I think it's called Lemon Verbena tree. So like we're like working on something with them.
Yeah, cool.
Bucket Boys. John's been hitting me up to do this Orange Julius thing, which is very American. It's like this like orange kind of milkshake. So
it's what? An orange milkshake?
In America, it's this orange kind of... It's awesome.
Okay.
And so they've had some ideas on what to do with the beer. So I think it's going to be like a lacto, basically, IPA. It's awesome.
Like
it's
going to taste... blood orange IPA.
Probably not even blood orange. I think it's just like... It's going to be awesome. Creamy and orange and, in a beer. Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. I'm not sure if I believe you, but you've never lied to me before, so I'll take your word for it.
So, there's that, and then there's others that are coming through. And a lot of them with, pub groups want to do. So there's going to be a competition between, again, in the local area at the moment, the White Cockatoo, the Henson, and the City Park Hotel.
Yeah.
So each of them are going to have their own beer. And they're going to have all three, they're all owned by the same group.
Yeah.
And they're going to have each beer on tap at the same time. So everyone, their punters can all vote on it. So we're going to create this kind of big thing about it. So we just got to figure out what beer they want.
Nice. And you mentioned before that there's a pretty cool thing happening for you guys in terms of is it the Sydney Festival?
Yeah, man. Hold on, can we pause for one second?
Took a quick pause there to pour a second beer. They're juicy as fuck with a pH, 7% NEIPA, tasting great. But, mate, there's some great news for you guys around the Sydney Festival, is it? And some beer you're doing with there?
Yeah, so we got announced, I think it's official.
It will be by the time this goes out.
Yeah. that we're the official beer of the Sydney Festival.
Yeah. What is that for people that aren't from Sydney?
Well, it's just a huge, arts festival. So they've got, there's plays, there's music, I think there's art installations.
Yeah, cool.
So there's a lot of cool stuff happening in January. They do this, they bring in acts to the Sydney Opera House, there's a whole bunch of stuff. So basically, so for us to be involved,
like Vivid without the lights.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's more of like art, I guess, I suppose. Not that Vivid's not art.
I'm just taking the piss.
Yeah. I'm bullshitting here. It's art. It's classy. It's classy stuff.
Cut to the chase. What does it mean to be the official beer? Does that mean you're making a special beer for the occasion?
Well, we might. We'll see what happens. I'm trying to figure that out. This is all still pretty fresh.
I always have been a bit of a newsbreaker on this podcast, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cutting edge, getting right into the guts of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. You've seen it first. You've heard it first here, folks.
I think I've had one scoop in 50 episodes.
So they, I don't know. There's a lot of cool stuff that we can do with it. We could, we're looking at different styles of beer. It might be that, there's a mid-strength that comes out. And it's January. It's going to be really hot. Is that a good time to come out with something just for the summer months that's a little bit lower? That means it's a little bit more sessionable.
It's interesting you haven't decided to do a mid-strength before, being that you used to look after Forex Gold back in the day.
Well, I mean, it's something that... It is. It's always been something I've been open to.
Yeah.
And Chris and I are actually pretty big Rogers fans.
Yes, same. And you're in the sweet spot. You're 40 with kids. You know, you're trying to juggle all this other shit. Like, perfect to have a mid-strength.
Yeah, well, I think Chris finally, now that he's imminently having his second child.
Yeah.
I believe in the next, 4 hours.
Literally pushing it out.
I think. Well, I don't want to like talk about the specific details,
but it will be born today.
Yeah, I think it's booked in. Yeah, okay. So I think, and it came on relatively quickly. So I think he said it was going to be happening. I think it's happening.
Well, tonight. Chris, congratulations, mate.
Yeah, congratulations, Chris. But I think, I think he's coming around to it. He's kind of really. Well, he's like, oh, you know, I'm like, I've got these more responsibility, blah blah blah. Yeah. He wants it, and I kind of, for a while, there's a period of time where I said, yeah, I wanted it. And then for a little bit of time, I actually was suggesting testing a no alcohol beer. And then we kind of, both were like, eh, and that just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah.
And now, but like over the past couple of months, and then we've had points where I've been like, man, all our beers are like way too heavy. Like they're all in the fives plus.
Yeah.
And like, we just need something lower. So we've been migrating some beers down it, and all our sours, except apart from like a few, like Big Pun and Chapeau, all sit in the like 4.5, and so we've been kind of proactively trying to move, not proactively, but realizing that there's just some better options that are sitting in the fours. And so now even this, and this is will be a stretch for us because we've never done, I don't think we've done anything in the threes. We're actually sitting there saying,
there's nothing to hide behind when you're doing a beer that ABV, is there?
Yeah, and we could do it.
Yeah,
but it's just one of those things where like, do we want to do it?
Go on, I dare you.
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, I think we're going to test it. We have a forum coming up this week. We set up a forum, you know, like, we're like, let's talk about the mid-strength beers that we like, and do we actually want...
What, like external...
Internal forum.
Oh, right.
But it's the first time we've actually been like, let's get people together, like, let's get all of us together to actually... And we're tasting a whole bunch of other beers, mid-strength beers, to sit there and be like, well, do we actually want to do this and test it?
Yeah.
And for us, it seems like it's kind of like a big deal because it's like, it's exciting because if you get something like a Rogers, you can have like a really great tasting beer.
Yeah.
That people can enjoy, and you don't have to sit there and call it mid-strength from like and shout it from the rooftop. So. Yeah. That might be something that we look at for Sydney Festival. And even still, I think it would only be, it'd only be like probably a seasonal release. Yeah, but there might be like a light version and a darker version. So it might be like summer and winter versions or something.
Holding a forum, mate. It sounds like you're growing up as a business, getting things a little bit serious.
Yeah, we have to get serious, you know. Two breweries, two venues.
I've got to say, it looks like you've aged a little bit since I saw you last.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot more gray hair. That's definitely true.
Stress levels, they're all right, are they, running two venues?
Right now it's a bit stressful, but I think, we've just set up a new brewery, and there's a lot of change for employees, different processes. The brewers are sharing, you know, the two spaces, so we don't have a dedicated team over here and a dedicated team over there. They all come over and flow back and forth. It makes sense for us to do it that way.
Yep.
Same with the bar staff. So, you know, there's been a lot of stuff for them to have to get their heads around and get used to. And that's all part of the challenges of it. So, like, yeah, I'd say right now my stress levels are higher. But I'm confident that we'll get them back down to normal. Just buy some beer, people. Just buy. When you hear this, go out and buy a batch.
Go and buy a batch.
Go and visit the Marrickville site. Yeah, come out to the new Petersham site. just take up all the merchandise and drink lots of the beer, and everything will be fine, and you'll sleep well at night time.
Yeah, exactly.
In a nutshell.
Exactly.
Basically. I've got to say, I'm really impressed with the venue. It looks great. If you are in the Sydney area, come and check it out, because it's pretty cool, actually. And you can try some of the limited release beers that don't make it outside of these four walls. I might try and steal a couple of cans before I go, so they might make it out of this venue. But, that's my fee for doing this podcast with you.
Yeah.
it's great to catch up. Good luck with this new venue, because it's pretty cool. And we'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to another Beer Healer interview. I really hope you guys enjoyed the episode as much as I did. If you want to follow along with more Beer Healer content, you can check out my Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram pages. Just search Beer Healer, or you can visit beerhealer.com. If you like the podcast, can you please help me spread the word by subscribing and rating it and sharing it with your beer-loving friends?